If you've been feeling unsettled, off course, or uninspired, like you've just lost that spark, or you're not sure what's next, today's episode is for you. Today, my guest and I talk about how do we reignite our passion? How do we step into more purpose? How do we understand and discern our God-sized dreams? And then how do we step out in faith and actually go after that life? We're also going to talk about where do we find real fulfillment from in life and why the way of the world will never give us those things. So I can't wait to share today's episode with you. It's the beginning of a new episode called Reignite Your Passion, so you can rediscover who you are and who God truly made you to be. Welcome to Faith Fueled Living, the podcast that equips you to live well spiritually, emotionally, physically, and purposefully. Each week, we'll dive into conversations and biblical truths to help you strengthen your faith, pursue meaningful work, care for your whole self, and live aligned with what matters most. Hi, today on the podcast, I'd like to welcome our guest, Jen Smith. She's a mentor, an author, and the founder of Launch Your Rocket, which is not only an all-encompassing program, but she's also written a book called Launch Your Rocket, and she has a podcast show called Launch Your Rocket. And I'm excited to talk to her today because we both have a heart for women. We both have a heart for helping women step into their full God-given potential and what he really wants for you, which is not just to settle, but he wants you to step into more of how he's designed you. And she bridges modern self-help with timeless wisdom and faith. And I know today's conversation is going to encourage you. And I think it might just be that pivot point you need to just say, you know what, I'm going to be a little more bold with what I'm doing and how I'm showing up. So Jen, welcome to the show.
Oh, I'm so grateful to be here. Thank you for having me, Kristen.
Absolutely. As we just shared before we started recording, we definitely have a lot of things that are similar or aligned, and we definitely talk in our own ways, but on some of the similar topics. So I am excited to have this conversation. Can you just start off with telling us a little bit about what life looks like and, you know, what's on your heart as you show up in the world?
No, sure. Thank you. Well, I'm a mom of three adult daughters, and I love you have the boys. I have the girls. I feel like you're and my tangible lives are very aligned. Just graduated college, all living in the world and married over 30 years and just Launch Your Rocket and my life, my walk with God. This has been a mission my whole life to try and live in a world in a normal way. I think some people think I'm too, I'd say worldly for the church and too churchy for the world, maybe, which is, I think, right where God has always wanted me to walk. He put on my heart over 10 years ago to do what I'm doing right now. And something happened that made me be obedient to start a podcast and start moving in action and doing Launch Your Rocket and making it more of a hands-on, tangible thing. And I can explain to you what that was. But just in a perfectly imperfect world with a healthy family and relationships, relying on God and trying to, and I believe I do, meeting people right where they're at to bring inspiration to the world. That's my calling. And God has me here with you.
Yeah, I love it. Awesome. Okay. Yeah. So why don't you tell us a little bit about that pivot point? Because before you start though, I'll just say so many women that I've talked to, worked with, or, you know, that give me feedback say, one day, I'd like to do this thing, but I'm afraid, or they might not use that word, but they're hesitant. Or some women know they want to do something else, but they just haven't really done the reflection, the discovery, the time with God to really understand how do they use the things they love or that are on their heart for a bigger purpose. And so I'd love to hear about your pivot point and how you knew you're already walking with him, but you knew he wanted you to kind of step out in this way.
Yeah. You know, Kristen, it's funny. I love the way you kind of articulated and laid that out. But I think the question is why women are stuck. So many people are stuck. They're kind of, and I always feel like people are just sleepwalking through a life when God designed us to live the most abundant, beautiful lives, but we get stuck sleepwalking. So if I'm articulating, it's how do we, what is that transformation that gets us into the momentum and why are we stuck? Is that kind of, you know, what happened to me to make that? Well, I think I have to back up a little bit. What I do right now is something called Launch Your Rocket, which takes people from stuck to unstoppable. You know, the whole mission is to wake people up from sleepwalking through average lives, because that is a lie sold to us by the world and by these machines that we're supposed to, you know, everything we tune into is what we turn into. And everything that we're seeing is not getting us to launch these abundant, beautiful lives because we're living on the world's blueprint. We're not living on God's blueprint. But the hard part I find is everybody kind of knows this, but people are afraid to tune into God. They kind of know that's the answer. Okay, I'm going to say it. He's the answer. Yeah. But they think they have to uproot their life. I don't know, become a nun, move to a monastery somewhere and sell all their possessions. And that is why I believe people are stuck. I think they are stuck in thinking they have to make an entire life change. So what happened to me was years ago, I lost a baby girl. That's where this all started. And that's when I dove into my faith. And because, yes, I grew up, I think like you, Catholic, I went to Catholic school and I was kind of told there's a God. But when I lost my child, it was more, I was consumed by what good is being a baby in heaven. Yeah. And I started to read and started to dive in, and the Lord met me on the walk and he just grabbed a hold of my life. And I really started to understand. And I was never money motivated, but a company came along. My daughter died of toxicity in her cord blood is what it came back. And along comes a company, and the company cleanses the body of toxins and impurities. So when this came, I really felt like this company was to connect me to my daughter. And I was, this is what God was, because I was praying for obedience. God, tell, show me where you want me to go and what you want me to do. I want to make a difference in my life. I surrendered my life. And then in comes this company that is what exactly my daughter died. So I really believed this was my mission to help people and serve people with this nutrition company. But as I started serving, I started making money and I wasn't comfortable with that. So then I went out to I got a letter from a gentleman in the mail that said, as a result of me helping him, he was going to take his life. So I really believed things were happening and I was praying, but things were happening that I thought were aha moments. So I went, I was obedient. I went out to a convention. It was network marketing. Shoot me. I really was like, I thought I was too dignified for this. I'm like, hell no. Thank you, God. I believe this and everything. But you know what, Kristen, God puts us in the most unlikely circumstances. And he knew, I guess I had pride, right? So sure enough, I went and it was probably my biggest nightmare. It was exactly what the opposite of what I was. It was fight and grind and, you know, money and fame. And I was like, I don't know how I'm going to do this. Well, I got so busy serving and loving for a year. I became the number one builder in the company. And I wrote a book about it because I couldn't care less about the money. I just loved and served. And I dove into God's word. And from that, he brought me the people and the opportunities. And the company and I were just complete opposites. So fast forward, years later, I wrote a book about the unusualness of me building a business, not at all on the world's blueprint, not by selling or it was all by surrendering and giving and loving and not caring about the money. And then why am I doing this right now? Well, it's amazing because the let them theory is that trigger. I think you had said to me, what is it right now that got me moving? It was the let them theory. I don't know if you know Mel Robbins and the let them theory.
Yeah, I'm familiar with what it is. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So my girls started saying, oh, just let them. They went out to dinner without me. Just let them. And I was so convicted and I prayed about it. What is it about this let them theory that's got me? And it's because it's an inch from truth, which will keep me people a mile from freedom. It's all scientific based and it drives me kind of crazy. And I really prayed on this and I felt like God saying 9 million copies were sold, showing this world is craving something. They're craving what you asked. They want to be unstuck so bad, but they're leaning on not science. They're leaning on science and the world for peace, joy, and love. The world cannot give them that. They will be stuck forever. So I really felt obedience saying you need to make the love them theory. And that's where I started putting something together. And I have an entire course and a whole system on how to launch your life. The way I figure to launch people's lives is to dive into God's word and use the all the principles that you and I know work. But if you do not have a source, if you do not have God at the center, you will be stuck forever. So that's pretty much what I do. That's how I came to it. You know, something did happen. There were some frying pan moments, and one was the let them theory, and I felt so convicted. And that's when I started moving, but I didn't move until I prayed and I'd said, show me. And then what happened is God lights up a runway when you ask.
Right.
So.
Oh, so good. Yeah. And you're right. I mean, I think the thing about let them theory is it's almost like it's one step, but not the right heart position. Right. In other words, it's the whole like, well, if you just don't, it's like avoidance a little bit, right? Like, oh, just ignore the fact that instead of searching your own heart and saying like, what is it about this that's irritating me? What is it about me that's being bothered by something? Yep. In other words, and you know, so often you're right, because a lot of people seem to lack grace and all these things towards other people. I mean, even look at the things that are said online and people and how divisive it is. And once again, I'm like, that's the heart of Christ. That's not how, if you're a Christian, yeah. And a lot of people doing that are Christians, and yet they're showing up that way in judgment and all these other things. And I'm like, that's not actually
how you show up and get. It's just teaching people. Yes. Yeah. It's teaching people to emotionally detach.
Right.
And that's exactly the opposite of Christ-like. And it's so interesting because the more scientific, the bigger that the host gets, the more famous the guests are, and the more secular they become, and the more unhappy I see. It's so interesting to me to look at the evolution of all of this. But the bottom line is the let them theory takes all of these feelings, yeah. And they put a Band-Aid on it, and they say, put it over there. And eventually it's a Band-Aid on a heart that needs a heart transplant. We never address the issue of why it bothers you when you see somebody on a trip and why are you jealous? You know, love them God's way. It's such a slap in the face, if I can say this gently but sternly, is they're managing feelings that God died to take away. You see, the host does an episode where you have to put your phone in the bathroom for the first 15 minutes of your day because what's on it is torture. Because it feeds you comparison. And I'm thinking, well, I don't know, mine doesn't. You know, what feeds you forms you. Your phone is just a reflection of what you give it. So why is it that you feel jealous and I don't? You know, so we need to remove those feelings. We have to stop telling the world that you are all jealous and, you know, you're all bitter and you're all anxious. And no, God died for us so that we don't feel that. And if you don't have that relationship with God, and it takes time, but if you don't really believe that, you don't have that relationship, you almost don't believe that somebody like me, I'm not a jealous person. And I, years ago, I always was, but I'm the type of person that I see somebody on a vacation, I'm genuinely happy for them. I think people who aren't at this phase or they're not filled with the word, they almost don't believe you when you say you're not jealous. Oh, you're just saying that. Or when you're not angry, when someone snaps at you and you have self-control, people don't believe that. But the let them theory isn't teaching us that. It's teaching us to detach and remove. And it's keeping people so stuck. And Kristen, the reason it's so dangerous is it's so good. So much of what is said is fine. There's nothing wrong with high-fiving yourself in the mirror. There is nothing wrong with having a green juice every day. But if you think those things are going to get you unstuck, you will be lost for the rest of your life. And it breaks my heart, especially three adult daughters. And I started hearing their friends and I was like, these are girls who grew up, they know God's word, and therefore, wow, this is, and that's when God was like, that's why 15 years ago, I had you in a network marketing company, Jen. It wasn't for that company. It was for now. He was preparing me for now.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty passionate about getting people unstuck because joy is the missing piece. Joy and peace. Everybody's seeking that and let them. Can't give you, the world can't give you what it doesn't have to give.
Well, they're seeking it in most people are seeking in everything but God, right? I mean, it's, we think the next thing, the next promotion, like you said, more money, whatever, a better relationship or a relationship at all, right? If we're a single person, which neither of us are, like we think this other thing will fulfill us, but it never will in the same way. And so that is of the world, right? And that's where eventually if you say, you know what, I want to know God because I don't, you know, or you do, but you want to deepen that, everything changes, right? Everything
really does. And I always said, I wish there was just one way of reaching through a screen and helping somebody believe that what we're saying is actually true, and that they don't have to sell their possessions, shave their head, and become a monk in order to get it. It's baby steps. It might be as simple as, if you're a listener and you're like, I don't know about that, just in the quiet of your shower saying, I heard these two people talking and I don't really want to do that much, but I've never really believed and I'm open. That's it. Start there. I think it's the overwhelming Christianity. You have to become something or give something up that holds people back from getting unstuck because they think, I don't want to take that path of, Bible-y. It really holds people back and doesn't have to. It's simple.
Yeah. And I think really though, it's because also people see Christians acting poorly, right? There's too many of that. And so it's that whole, like, they're showing up in judgment, they're showing up in bitterness, when that's not what we're given when we actually, surrender and we keep deepening that relationship, we deepen our faith, and then we get that fruit of the Spirit. And so I think for me, the thing that friends of mine that are just not really sure, they're kind of not as clear on their faith, or they want to believe, but they just, they're held back by some of those questions, right? That people, we all have struggled with maybe, but it's that when we're consistent through and through, and we seem to have peace when others don't, when we seem to have calm when others don't, when we seem to be loving, even when the circumstance might not seem like we need to be loving, but that's when people question, like, how are you like that?
Exactly.
Right. And that is how, it's through examples of seeing people have something that they don't have, and then learning that it's through, their relationship with God.
100%. And you have, people will say, but how do you get that? Well, when you know that it's in the giving that you receive, when you recognize that, holding onto a grudge is like drinking poison and waiting for somebody to die. When you know the words of God tells you and reaffirms to you that it doesn't work the way you all think, like, you have to know the word, because it's in understanding the word that you release all of those things. So it's hard because you can't have one without the other, right? You can't, everyone's like, okay, I want to now believe in God and why don't I feel peace? Well, yeah, you have to understand it. You have to believe it.
There's a process.
But there has to be an avenue. I really think there has to be a beginning place for people that they say they're safe and they can understand it. I'm sorry, but there's too much thou shall Bible-y terms, and it's intimidating, and people don't know what the heck it means. I can't stand when someone's like, oh, just go read the Bible. I'm like, please don't do that. I'm like, you're going to go into Kings and Judges, and it's going to be like, the sister's brother slept with this one who murdered a baby. I'm like, it's awful. Most of the Bible is horrible, because if you don't know the context, which is just showing, so much of the Bible is just trying to point out that we're all sinners, chill out, right? But if you don't know that and you're reading this, you're like, what is this? And it's like, well, it's just trying to show us that we've always been sinners, so have a little grace. So I think there has to be a beginning for somebody, and it has to be somebody like maybe you and I, humble myself to think, and maybe it's not us, but everybody needs that one person that they say, I can relate to that person. I think I can understand through them. And that's why God has somebody like you or somebody like me or some, because everybody relates differently to somebody. But I think listening to who you are and what you do and I am, I think it's important that we be unapologetically ourselves, so that the people who need what we have can come and get to know God in a relationship that makes sense to them, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. And actually, the ways that my faith deepened the most is actually when I've read books or stories or heard people talking about something about their faith, right? And it doesn't have, like you said, it doesn't have to be super churchy. It doesn't have to be too extreme. It's in those moments in their stories, or like a story about somebody and something that happened. And, those things made me say, whoa, that's amazing. And then made me want to read the Bible more later, but in context, right? Like in a Bible study or something that helped me understand it in terms of today.
On their terms, when they come to you say, once they trust you enough and they like it, they come to you and say, yeah, too many people like impose it on people and it just pushes them away. That's why, Kristen, I do a verse a day every day, but I don't say the verse. So I usually have like a story that the whole world is intrigued with, right? Because it's like something tangible that they could benefit from. And I give it and they're all excited. And then I'm like, I'll say the verse. They'll be like, oh my God, that was biblical. It's like, yeah. So then if you 100%. See that long enough, you recognize that you liked all of the worldly things I had to say. You just didn't know it wasn't worldly. It was based on foundational truth. So, you know, if you can get people that way to recognize that they want, everybody wants God. They just don't know it because everybody wants what he has. Everybody's seeking what only he can give. They just don't realize he's the only one who can give it. So they do what you said earlier. They move the goalpost. They go on a vacation. They get a bigger car. They think they need a bigger job. And then it doesn't satisfy them. This is why so many rich people are so poor in spirit. And then you have these people. My daughter went to Tanzania and she's like, Mom, I thought they were going to be so sad. They had nothing and they were richer than anybody I've ever met. And that's exactly why people just, if they only knew what they don't know, which is the only way to get what you're seeking is from one person, the one who created you and the universe. And you can keep trying to fill it with worldly things. And I'm not saying they're not fun and they won't satisfy you, but you have arrived when you're just as content and happy if you're on a billionaire's yacht in the French Riviera or it's an ordinary Tuesday and you have dishes in the sink. And Kristen, I see it in you and I think you've gotten to know me. People don't believe that. If I were to say, no, I really have joy in all circumstances, right, like the good, the bad, and the ugly, they don't believe you. And I think to myself, wow, they must be pretty far in their walk from truth because they don't even believe that I feel that way because they don't even think that heart is possible. But you and I know it is. And it's only possible with a relationship with God. But you, myself, and other people need to make different pathways for people because there's all different people that have to be met where they're at. And I feel called to meet a certain people where they're at, which is usually people who think they have charmed lives and they think they're happy. Those are the hardest people to reach. And I feel like that's where my walk is.
Yeah. So good. Okay. So let's dig into a little bit about, you know, both of us definitely speak to women who, you know, they could be in midlife, maybe before that, maybe, you know, some of them might be a little bit younger. Maybe they have still mm-hmm. kids at home and some, you know, their kids mm-hmm. are probably like our age, either college or just beyond. But a lot of them are kind of trying to decide or figure out like, what's this next season look like? Mm-hmm. You know, what am I meant to do or do I have more to give? And so as we talked about earlier, right, a lot of people just get stuck. They don't really know how to take their thoughts and turn it into action, even if they've started things before. And so let's dig into why is it so important that we actually understand that our passions are usually from God. I'm going to share just this one part of a statement from Matt Gottesman, but it basically says your God-given desires aren't distractions, they're direction. But I think a lot of people, because of that whole self-help versus is it godly, I even have this happen to me on occasion where I'm speaking a message. And if it's not directly tied to like a verse, I feel like people can say, well, you're just doing self-help. And I'm like, well, no, I'm not. Right. Because I truly believe what that statement just said, mm-hmm. which is God didn't make me uniquely the way he made me on accident. Like I like reading Christian books. I like reading a lot of different books, but my friends don't, a lot of them don't like those books. Some do. Like that's a unique thing about me, you know, and mm-hmm. my point is I like taking photographs. Those aren't bad things. Those are things that God gave me that I enjoy, right? Things I'm passionate about. And so what would you just share with us about stepping into our passions, which help us step into or understand our purpose more?
Kind of a trick question because it's not people would love nothing more to say, here's the answer, do this, right? But it's a process. But I actually really have spent my whole life launching the process. So the biggest word I think is discernment, right? Like when people are like, oh, how do you know? I don't. I need to discern, but I discern in prayer. And I say, God, if this is from you, please show me. And if it is not, close the door. And let me tell you something, Kristen, you know this. I know you know this. People don't realize when you do that genuinely how quickly doors close. But most people who don't really have a relationship with God, they may be like, I wanted that door. They're opening it. I'm willing to close it. But what does it mean when God opens a door when I'm discerning in prayer? It means the right people and the opportunities show up. Listen, for listeners out there, you just have to either buy into me or not. You either believe what I'm saying or not, and that's on you. But I'm going to tell you this right now. God brings the people and the opportunity, the wisdom and the motivation when it is from Him. And another thing is, if you're not dreaming big, the world has taught you to dream too small. And that is such a disservice, because so many people think they have to get okay with money, and they have to, God is not a God who like wants to shrink his life, like his kids can't have nice things. He's not afraid of us having worldly things. He's just afraid that those worldly things will never fulfill us because they're on him. So I have a course and it's free. So I'm not pushing anything here, but I have a community, and in there is a course, and it's my book, Launch Your Rocket, that I created into a 30 chapter video chapter course with a workbook that goes with it. And we do exactly what you're saying, but it's not a potion. You have to, number one, decide your dream. So I'm going to ask, like, has anybody even asked God? Like, so many people are like, what do I want? Have you actually said out loud, hey, dude, God, these girls are saying you're there. I don't even know if I believe, but come into my heart. And by the way, what dream did you place in my heart? So many people haven't even asked.
That's right.
Then start, this is crazy. This is what I do in my course. Okay, so let's do a niche finder. What are you good at? Yes, yeah. Your gift from God is usually something that he put in you that is so common sense to you, right? That you don't even think it's a thing. Yes, we will discover that. But then when it's time to move, Kristen, I say to people, and this is where people are like, what? I don't say, let's go on. Our kids are the same age. Where do they find jobs now? LinkedIn.
Like Indeed or something.
You don't go on LinkedIn. You right. go to the coffee shop and you sit with the old man who's lonely. Or you give up your parking spot, or you help a neighbor who was mean to you 3 days ago, and you give and you pour and you serve. This is how network marketing was enamored by what I did, because I did the exact opposite of what the world tells us to do. And I poured into people. God sends the rain. And if you have not done that, you won't believe it, just like you won't believe that I'm not jealous or, but that's how it works. And that's why I think that's the missing piece to the puzzle. Yes, we have all these courses that define your dream. Well, is it God's dream or is it your dream? Have you discerned? Have you asked? That's number one mistake. Number two, but I think we have it all, right? Define the dream, find the niche, set your goals. Well, if you're not in line, and listen, if God gives us the vision, he gives us the provision. Yes. And God gives us the dream, right? He gives us the dream. So once we tap into what it is from him and we start living on his blueprint, a heart of service, let him provide the rain, not us grinding. And that's where the world gets tripped up. And the reason I think a lot of the people that I work with do so well, honestly, is because they know me and they've seen my life mission and they've seen it work in action. They've seen the abundance. They've seen the runway light up when it shouldn't. They see somebody who's not capable of what I'm doing it. And they're like, oh my God, she is really anointed by God. And that's the belief that they said, I want to start trying that. I want to stop pushing and fighting so hard and doing the self-help and the let them and do the love them and start, you know, the more you dive into God's word and not just open the Bible, but you have a systematic way of doing it, but gently starting to use his blueprint, your life gets unstuck. But I'm going to challenge people a little bit because they all want to get unstuck. But how many people have really tried it this way? It's too easy to do the world's way. It's too easy to drink the green juice, to hang up there's nothing wrong with putting an affirmation on the mirror, you know, but I'm sorry, you will be seeking for the rest of your life if you lack the gas that moves the car.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think sometimes we also get stuck because people think, well, I think I sort of understand where God's calling me, or I have this dream, this God-given dream. But he's not normally going to give you the whole plan, right? He's just going to give you enough that he then wants you to be faithful, to take some step, some action. And sometimes at the beginning, that's going to be something small, but it shows that you're not going to, because a lot of us wait on him, but God doesn't say that. Most of the examples.
Oh my gosh, Kristen, you are hitting
the act, and then he will show us signs. But a lot of us get stuck in the, well, I'm waiting on God, but actually he says be faithful.
He meets us in the movement. He meets us in the movement. I love this saying. There's like, I always say this to the people that I work with. If you want to milk a cow, do you sit on a stool in the middle of a field and hope the cow is going to back up to you? Or do you go milk the cow? You have to move. And when you discern, first you ask, you define what it is, you get in, and nobody grows in isolation. You get with somebody like you and me or a group of people, you discern it. Is this? And then once you believe it's from God, you start moving. If he starts sending you the people and the wisdom, okay. Yeah. Ask again, make sure you're on that right path, but he meets you in the movement, because if you don't move, you don't believe. And that's God wants you to move in faith. Mm. And he wants big dreams. If you're dreaming small, it's not big enough, because it doesn't require faith.
Right.
That's why I always tell people, you have to dream big. You have to dream where it requires faith. And you are showing God, I believe. It is an honor to him. And when you start moving in faith, he lights up the runway. So I think 100%. You really just unlocked this thing. And a lot of people will get stuck. And a lot of Christians get stuck. They get stuck in this small mentality. Like, it's too big. It's too this. It's selfish. Well, did you discern? Because I don't have any selfishness, because my heart is pure in it. But if it's not big enough, then it doesn't require faith. And
that's right.
I think that's big. And you have to move. He meets us in the movement. It's like a GPS, right? You put it in the thing and God does it. Or it's like a car. It's foggy. And the headlights only see what's next, but God knows where the end is. And he just only lets you see the next. But here's the thing, and you unlocked this so beautifully. If you don't see it, you only see what's next, but you show God that I trust you and you take that, then he brings the next thing. Oh, she's following me. She's there. So one, you have to have one to have the other. And it's not as complicated as maybe we're making it sound, because if somebody's listening, they think, oh, I got to learn all this. Well, you know, yes, there needs to be some intention. You need to decide, are you tired of being sick and tired? Because one way leads to sick and tired, and one way leads to freedom and joy and peace and relationships and healthy and calm. It's almost not believable. But yeah, you have to move. In faith.
And one of the things I think that's kind of hit home for me over the last year, more than any other message is this, no matter who I'm interviewing, so many of the conversations have come up. Sometimes I've done episodes on divine healing, like all these different things. It can be stepping into your, you know, God-given dream. But it's this, most Christians think, well, I believe, but what are you believing? Because you can believe in God. And as they say, right, even the spirits, the devil believe in God. The issue is, are you believing God for the promises that he promises us, the blessings he promises us and the healing he promises us? And are you believing he'll do it for you? Because most of us go, well, I know he can, but then we start having doubt. We do not have the faith that says, and belief in God that says, I know he can and he will and he is. We stop before that, because I think it's been watered down, at least in a lot of churches, or at least in our country and some other places where people are maybe more affluent than other places, mm-hmm. right? But that is the problem, is we think we're believing God for it, but mm-hmm. we're not. We're questioning God for it. Mm-hmm. And that is where we get caught up a lot of times, I think, as Christians or new believers, either one. But even people that have been Christians their whole lives, they've heard a message. Like I said, some of the episodes are about healing. But people, because I used to think this too, okay, God, make this person better. But then I'd be like, oh, but do I say only if it's your will? But that is not true.
We declare healing in Jesus' name. It, yeah.
He actually promises it. Like he says, now it might be on his timeline, but he promises it. And he tells us we have to like believe him to do these things, not question and be wishy-washy. Yep. It's be clear in it. And I think a lot of us get stuck there too.
We do. But may I interject something? Because I think this is huge. I think what you're touching on right now is everybody's pain point. Because whether you are Billy Graham, whether you are somebody who doesn't know, every single person, belief, faith, take just that. It takes a little bit of belief. There is no fit. People want proof, right? But not believing is making a decision too, right? So you have to believe, but we also have to, I think it is so important to be okay with not understanding. Yeah. So even me, I know we declare healing. I have a daughter, an older daughter, just diagnosed with MS, and by the blood of Jesus Christ, by his stripes, she is healed. And I declare it. You promise she can be healed, and his timeline and all that stuff. But here's what I've had to learn. I don't understand God. And if I understood God, he wouldn't be God. It is so unfair. When people question me and they say, give me proof, I always say, if we were able to understand God, who made everything, he wouldn't be God. There's just a lot I don't understand. Thank God, because I'm not God. So there are times where I just have to understand that we're not going to understand it all, and we're not called to understand it. We're called to learn and discern and use his wisdom. And I call it a treasure map, because that's what it is. God's word is a treasure map to the life that we all want so desperately. I don't understand it all, but I believe in the God who did it all. So I don't know if I went sideways there a little bit, but I think it is such an important thing that people pray, and healing is a big one. And then I struggle, and I'm sure you, and I'm not going to put words in your mouth, but I know people that struggle. Okay, then why didn't you heal
100%
my baby, right? Why did she die? I don't think God, a lot of people say he did it because I don't believe in any, I don't believe in that. The Bible doesn't say it like that, but I just have to leave it to the fact that I don't understand, but I trust you. And if I understood you, you wouldn't be God. So thank God I don't understand you, because you are so big and so amazing. And I'm so grateful for you, but I do trust you have our best interest at hand. So I know that I don't know, but I'll still pray for healing. But sometimes you just don't understand. You have to trust. You have to
believe. That's 100% true.
The comfort that you're seeking.
That's right. Well, of course, because why else would, this is why we question things, right? Like, why did we lose someone? Like you said, why did this tragedy happen, right? There is going to be things on the side, you know, of attorney.
Yeah, I do think we have to be careful as Christian leaders to not give the answer sometimes. Like, I'm not a pastor, right? I mean, I love the word, and I've read the Bible upside down, sideways and backwards, but why can't we just say to somebody, I don't understand it all, but I do know this, and I'm here for you, and start loving them the way Jesus loved people. If we just do that, I think we're always trying to inform them why. Sometimes we just need to admit, like, we don't know everything. I don't know. I read 100%. It, but I don't pretend I understand it all, but here's what I do know. Have you seen the way I've treated people over the course of my entire life? Because
yes.
People should look at a Christian and be like, what is it about them? Why do they have a light in all circumstances? Why do I want, I have a lot of people who are just want to be around you if you're bring that sense of peace. So I know I don't know everything, and I know I make mistakes, but it's more important to just be honest and say, there's a whole lot we don't know. But the person that you see is the person that you see. I really am loving. I really am joyful. I do have this peace. So maybe I'm not giving you the answer as to why, but look at my life. So I don't know if I went off on a rail there, but I think we have to be really careful to not give all the answers, because we're not God. We shouldn't.
Most Christians I know, including pastors, they'll tell you, we don't know the answers to everything. So the point is God promises us these things, blessings, other things. But once again, it is not on our timetable. This is not a genie in a bottle, right? And so that is the point, is we want to still, you know, call on him and believe him for these things, right? Blessings, promises, all the things. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean it's going to be on our way or the way we envision it or our timetable, because it's normally not, right? Yeah. The point is he says those things and we want to believe him for it. But once again, it's not up to us, the outcomes, the timetables, or the understanding in most cases. So I'm with you. I have to often tell people who I have a conversation with, who's kind of trying to understand God. And I'll tell them, like, I don't know why little kids, bad things happen. Like, I don't have the answer to that. I can only say that even in these bad situations, you can see goodness of God through people that are around them or these other things. It doesn't make the thing better or more bearable. Right. Yeah. But I'm with you. I have to say, I don't know why, you know, and I can tell them something, but I'm like, I can't answer that for you in a way that's going to make it feel better.
Yeah. And you know, Kristen, going back to being stuck, because I think a lot of people our age get stuck, right, in that midlife thing. But
if today's episode resonated with you, I have the perfect gift for you. I have a Reignite Your Passion 5-day workbook that'll help you step into identifying your passions, identifying your God-sized dream, and then help you take the steps to walk into that future. It's so good. Just head to kristenfitch.com, go to my workbooks, and grab that completely free. And you'll also then be a part of my community, and you'll get my Faith Friday emails that help lift you up and just let you look at your life from a faith-filled lens.
The stuck, sometimes what I see with women is they're stuck because of comfort.
Oh, gosh. In other words,
they're stuck because they think, well, I have to give up something, or I have to be uncomfortable, mm-hmm. or I have to step through being afraid or worrying about what people yep. think of me.
And you order. Already, everything you just said gives it away. I have to, I'm stuck. I have to do this. I'm comfortable. That's it. That's the problem.
Yep.
It's not I. It's when you give it up that you get it. And people, they can't do that. And that's why you really have to go through a process, you know? I remember what I was going to say, which is God made the blueprint. Yeah. The Bible is just a treasure map for the life we want to live. You're asking me, or I'm asking you, how do I get unstuck? Well, God made, it's right here. Number four, God made a blueprint. This is a treasure map.
Yes.
To the life we all want, but we won't open it, usually because it's hard to understand. But I think a lot of people think that these rules, this is the problem. People don't like rules. And they think that these rules are there to box them in. But okay, I mean, and I'm not going to, there's some controversial things, right? But I don't believe in that in the Bible. Okay, but God made these rules so that we could live a beautiful, abundant life. It's kind of like a little kid with a stove, right? The little kid's parent doesn't want the child to touch the stove. That's the rule. Don't touch the stove. But the child wants to touch it, and he touches it, and it gets burned. The rule, don't touch the stove, God's rules, his laws, wasn't the problem. It was touching the stove and getting burned. I think we're living in a world that doesn't like some of the rules, and they think, how could a God, you know, and I'm sorry, I don't know if you delete this, but like a man sleeping together, right? Okay, we have free will. You can do that. But if your life feels chaotic, maybe it's because it says not to do that in the Bible. So it's a loving God. He's not going to not love you, and you have free will. But if your life is showing chaos, maybe there's a rule that you're doing that if you just think about it, maybe that's why chaos follows, if that makes sense. And that's just an example that's tangible and easy. But these rules are not there to box us in. It is a treasure map to the life. And, you know, once people start seeing that treasure map, as simple as this, as a man think in his heart, so is he. Okay, that is what you think about, you bring about. That's manifestation. Manifestation works because God designed the law. But no, we take some guy from Harvard, we slap a sticker and we say, oh, what you think about, you bring about. And everybody's like manifesting the universe. The law of attraction works because as a man think in his heart, so is he. How about vision boards? People would be like, Jen, you do vision boards? I'm like, Habakkuk 2:2 says, write the vision plain and make it, write the vision and put it on tablets. That's vision boards. That's in the Bible. When you start recognizing and utilizing these laws because they're God's laws, all of a sudden, everything is different. When you recognize the place that it's coming from and your heart shifts, and then we do what I said, which was start shifting your heart. So you're manifesting, you have a vision board, you start get out there and serve, and God starts lighting up a path for you, and you recognize it's in your wheelhouse of what you're good at, and you're helping people. And all of a sudden you're in a business, or abundance is raining down and you're helping people because he knows that you can. So that's kind of how you get unstuck, but it's not a potion. It's not, I'd love to say you can high five yourself in the mirror and you can put a manifestation trick and you can drink green juice, or Mel Robbins says, put your phone in the bathroom in the morning. Okay. None of that stuff is going to do it, guys. It might give you 15 minutes of peace, but you'll never transform. You need the source. And the source is God's word. You just need an easy, tangible way to learn without having to uproot your whole life tomorrow. But that's how you get unstuck.
Yeah, and I would say it's interesting. So the more that I learn about the Bible, and I don't mean just reading it or certain, like the deeper I get into it over mm-hmm. the years, but sometimes it's by reading certain books by certain pastors or mm-hmm. people or...
Sure.
But for instance, even the Sabbath, and don't get me wrong, in our country, not a lot of people take the Sabbath, and it is not something I have mastered either. So full disclosure there. But it is actually, yes, it's a command, and he says honor the Sabbath, but it is actually, it's actually a gift. It's supposed to be to stop and delight. It's actually so the whole day, yes, we can commune with God, but it's also to enjoy your family. It's to slow down, enjoy a meal, a bottle of wine. Like if you actually dig into it, it was actually so that we have a day to rest and get renewed and refreshed for next week. And also that's a time that lets us be inspired again so that next week we are a more creative person. And so, but a lot of us think, oh, what do you mean? Like a whole day, it's like church, but work, you know, but they don't understand. It's actually meant to, you know, it's a reset. It's a time to say like, you don't have to work or toil today.
It is.
But a lot of us think it's a rule and that it's like punishment or something. And it's actually not.
It's but it's okay if you feel punished the first few times that that's the piece I feel like you and I feel like when I hear you talk about your friends and your relationships, I feel like a lot of our people are in that same phase, right? And it's hard, but sometimes you just have to do the hard thing and get over the hump. Go, maybe take the Sabbath because you want to have a nice life. I'm okay. People would hate to hear that, right? Jen, that's opportunist. No, I'm sorry. But if that's what it takes for somebody to stop and go to church and gut through it, all of a sudden, maybe on the third Sunday, there's something about the relationship they have with their spouse that feels a little bit different because they were sitting there together. Let God do the work in you. Okay, gut through it the first couple of times. Maybe you don't feel the way you and I are because I love Sabbath, right? But I didn't always love Sabbath. I mean, look at the little kids in church. They're, none of them want to be there, but eventually God kind of leads into you. So, you know, it's such a fine line of to get to the point where Sabbath is like, I love my Sundays. Yes. That took time.
That's right.
It took time to, you know, my kids are all lacrosse stars, right? They all played all these sports and every weekend it's hard, but what a disservice to have missed a lot of those Sundays because now Sabbath is an absolute gift and a blessing. And I'm thinking, oh, how many more I could have had I
know,
it's not about God doesn't need us.
That's right.
He doesn't need us to worship him on Sunday. He's not saying I need something. He's saying, enjoy what I love yourself. Sunday is beautiful and wonderful. He's not saying come to Sabbath because I need it. He's saying come to Sabbath because you need it. What you That's have right. to give there.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah.
Oh, so true. Okay. So let me ask you this as we start wrapping up. What is just one or two things that we maybe haven't covered that you just want to share, especially to women? What's on your heart to share with them just about the conversation we've already had today?
I just love that question. That's dangerous for someone like me who can talk and talk and talk. So give me a second to reel it in. I really feel, and obviously this has been on my heart the whole time, I really feel that everybody wants what you and I are talking about. If they only thought it was tangible, if they really thought that they could start somewhere slowly and they didn't have to all of a sudden put their hands in the air and go to a charismatic church. Can I really, what could I do right now? And I really feel like that's where I hit people. I see my adult daughters, what they struggle with and what their friends struggle with. And they're like this in church and it's a little bit uncomfortable. Just in the quiet of your shower, I want people to just say, I'm curious. God, I'm open. I think that's the first place to start. And I do prayer intention cards because if people don't know where to start and I'm not much of a prayer warrior. They're not with me. I just have index cards and I pray over my husband, over my children, over a healing over my daughter, over their future spouses. I have about 10 things and I read them the first 5 minutes of my morning. I'm intentional. I don't high five myself in the mirror. I'm in God's word. And then I have about 10 verses and I read them. That is a non-negotiable for me. So if they do nothing else but make some prayer cards, and even if they don't, and I help you make the prayer cards because it's easy if somebody just helps you. First say thank you, then give the and then just read it every day. If you do nothing but that, you're inviting God in, and then just be open. And it doesn't have to be You don't have to go to a charismatic church tomorrow and put your hands in the air and start singing gospel songs. You know, it's so interesting because my girlfriend, who's a retired cop and friends with her whole life, I've never done TikTok live. I'm not that kind of girl, but about a month ago, it was like 2 a.m. and she's crazy. She's certifiable in the best way possible. And she's like, come on, you got to get TikTok. So 2 a.m, we're like dancing live on TikTok. And she kept putting on music, but I was like, it's 2 a.m. Who's watching us? Like, this is inviting in a portal of wackos. I come on. You know, Kristen, are you with me?
What do they say? Nothing good happens after midnight.
Yeah. Believe me. And she kept putting on worldly music. And I was like, and then I was like, okay, these are people at 2 a.m. that are kind of creepy.
Yeah.
Probably need God. I would put on Christian music. And she was like, what is this church stuff? And I'd be like dancing. I swear with God as my witness. 2 days ago, she said to me, because I have a playlist. She's like, Jen, I can't listen to anything but the music you were listening to. And it was only 2 months ago that I was like, I hated it. And she's like, and now I get why you kept putting that on. I love it. And I thought, oh, praise God. Like, yeah. Nothing. She didn't do anything. It was just being around each other and her being open enough to go on my playlist. It's on Spotify. It's called The Playlist That Lift and Launch. And I tell everybody in my school, go to my playlist and listen to it. And she's like, I cannot believe it. I'm like, that's how God works. Yeah. You can't help that you now like it.
That's right.
You hated it 2 months ago. And she's like, I actually like it. I'm like, yeah. And that's how I feel about not being jealous. And that's how I feel about really being joy. She's like, it was so cool. So I just want people to know that it's not as big a deal. You don't have to make it a big deal. Let yourself start slow.
Jen, if people head over to your website, launchyourrocket.com, what can they expect to find there?
The podcast is on there. And I have that Elevate course, which takes you from stuck to unstoppable. It's phenomenal. And I coach people through that. I'm starting a group on the 18th. And Kristen, there is no money. I've never been money motivated. And this is just a calling on my heart. So if people go, they're like, oh, when I get inside, there's going to be like a gotcha. No, this is God's mission. He's using me. He's using you. It's called School. It's an app. And you can do the prayer cards with me on March 2nd. Or we have such an amazing group of women, just like yourself, a lot of like-minded people. And then I'm starting an Elevate course on the 18th. If people want to get unstuck, you will get unstuck if you go with that group.
Oh, I love it. Okay. Well, let me just say thank you so much for coming on and joining me today. Just, you know, encouraging the listeners just from another perspective, just to remind them, you know, that there's so much more available to them, right? If we just start deepening our faith, to start having, you know, saying, you know what, God, I do. I want a relationship with you, or I want to deepen my relationship with you. I want to have a more intimate relationship with you. Mm-hmm. And then know that He wants us to go and be in the world, right? And meet with people, talk to people, like you said, but most importantly, He wants us to have a heart for people. He wants us to have a heart for service and, you know, just show up and be more like Christ. Because when we do that, we can't help but be changed. Our heart be changed. So thank you. Yeah. So thank you so much for coming on and joining me today.
Oh, thank you for having me. This was amazing. I appreciate you.
Yeah. And then, so all the things you already shared, I think the best URL is just Launch Your Rocket. Is that correct?
Yeah, Launch Your Rocket is my website. And then on there, it'll say join the community, and that will take you to School and everything. The reason I put it in one place, and I wish there was, you didn't have to create a login, but it is good because I do screen people. I'm not going to allow anybody in. I want to make sure your intentions are good in there, right? Especially if you put something out there and you say it's free and there's a live party. I don't want it to be live. I want to make sure we know who we are.
100%. So
they'll click on the community, and then you're part of that community forever. And nobody grows in isolation. It's an amazing group of men and women who just support and elevate one another, just like we're doing right now.
Awesome. Love it. All right. Well, thanks again for joining us.
Thank you.
Just wanted to wrap up today's episode with a quote by Bob Goff that says, "Don't limit what God can do in and through you with your magnificent one in history combination of gifts and abilities. And don't worry about having it all figured out in advance. You'll connect the dots as you go." And that is my reminder for you today. I hope that both Jen and I inspired you to step into how God's designed you, and that it's not by accident, that He wants you to really dig into the desires He's put on your heart, the passions and the things you're interested in, the things that break your heart. He wants you to show up in the world
fully and completely who he made you to be. He wants you to show up in joy and excitement and enthusiasm, because when you bring that and you show up in love, people can't help but know that you are somehow different and that you've shown up to partner and to serve the Lord and help other people. So go and grab the Reignite Your Passion workbook and start feeling that joy and step into your purpose today. If you enjoyed today's episode, if you could leave a rating, review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts, it helps the show get discovered by more people so that we can continue to uplift and encourage people in their faith journey as well as all of the other parts of their lives.